Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Welcome, 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 welcome everybody to the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. All lesser values than love slide easily into the rabbit hole, the dark pit of BS. You can make BS what you want, but I'm calling it bait and switch. In other words, we fake it till we make it with somebody. And that's BSing, folks. That's baiting and switching them. Well, far too often, we folks of church faith have been BSing, baiting and switching. We act one way to get them hooked, and then we get them in there, and then we don't continue with the highest value of the human race, and that is to love people, to love them significantly. So that's why we're here every Saturday and Sunday, and that's why some of you have joined just relentlessly. I'm so blessed and honored to know many of you come in here quite often. It's a real honor to me that you'd give me a half an hour of your life and time. I promise to make it worth your while. We do a few things here regularly to keep me on track and to bring you into that same track. And the first thing is we'll do something I call the Love's Creed. It's something I wrote many years ago as a New Year's resolution, and it has become a creed for me that I've edited and come to the finality of it in terms of what I'll share with you in a moment. Then shortly after Love's Creed, we'll say the Lord's Prayer together. So, first of all, let's go for the Love's Creed, and I'll tell you after we're done with that how you can get a copy for yourself. Here we go, in total, and then I'll come back, and I'll ask you to repeat after me. Here we go, in total. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. If you'd like a copy of that, you could write me at randydeanministries@gmail.com. That's all one word, randydeanministries, all lowercase letters, at gmail. I'd be happy to send you a copy so you've got something to put in your computer, your phone, your device, or on a 5x7 card you can put on the sun visor of your car or on the mirror of your bathroom to see it, and to just meditate on something that could set the tone of your day and your life. All right, let me give it to you in small pieces, and like a bride and groom at a marriage altar, you repeat after me. Here we go. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. That last line says it all for me. I'm unavailable for anything less than love. I'm not here. I'm not going to put myself in an availability to be hateful, critical, judgmental, shaming. All of the negativities that seem to have become a far too much of a habit in our world that we live in. It's time to love this world the way God loves this world. And that's my topic for today. And I'm going to talk about how the qualities of God's love for the world can become our qualities. But let me share with you a statement of purpose for this episode of the No BS Bishop. And here it is. I love the world into which I was born. I love its complexities and I love its contrasts. I love the dilemmas right along with the developments. Some folks are crazy, and some are creative beyond my scope of reference. I love this wild, spinning, furious, broken, and beautiful collection of human beings. And I've read somewhere that God loves it too. You see, that statement of purpose for today sets in motion, not just for my broadcast. This is something I've carried along with me in my journal that I hand wrote this. It's something I've put on social media. But to love the world into which you were born, not to pine for another day in the past, that moaning and groaning that things are just not like they used to be, or pining for someday out in the fantasy future. Let's be in the moment. Let's arrive into today. This is something I've been sharing as I close for the last month or so. The biggest mistake we make in life is thinking we still have time, but let's learn how to be present, to be kind, to love more and love now. Not waiting for a better day to come or whining and pining about a better day that was. Let's be here now and love this world. I heard someone say years ago, oh, I just feel like I was born out of time. Like my character, my qualities, my desires for the world were born to be part of the 40s, 50s, and 60s. And I just thought, oh my gosh, that's so wearisome. Don't do that to yourself. And it's something I keep myself aware of if I get into that bad mood. It's a cloudy mood. We don't need to be pining for what was, or whining about what was, or pining for what can be, and whining and dining for what will be. Let's live today. The worst mistake you can make is thinking you got time. You got today. You got right now. So right now, let's discuss. I'd like to share with you. I've got a full page of character qualities of how God loves this world and how it's an invitation for us to love our neighbors, love our enemies, love this world that we're in, to see the varying rainbow colors of people that are out there and just love them as they are, not as you wish them to be, to find in yourself a sense of appreciation for humanity, because John 3:16, I hope you know that one, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever would believe in him would have everlasting, eternal, long-living, beautiful, conditioned with abundance life. The love of God for the world is set in stone, if you will, from the past to the present and into the future. So let me talk to you about the qualities of love that I see God carries for the world around him and the world around you. And that is, first of all, God is accepting of the world as it is. Oh yeah, yeah, he is. How do I know that? Because when he sent his son Jesus, who is God in the flesh, Jesus looked at the world as it was, not as he wished it to be. He spoke into the world that he was living in, which caused some consternation among the heavy-handed, self-righteous folks who wanted everybody to change to be like them. But Jesus saw people for who they were, like the woman at the well in the Gospel of John. And he knew her exactly for who she was and what her life had become. And he was able to speak into her life, not for what she was and not for what she would become, but for who she was right there in that moment. Accepting the love of God is an accepting quality. It's an accepting capacity. And it would be something for us to learn, to learn how to accept. Oh, I know. I know people need to deal with their sin. And so do I. And so do you. We get so preoccupied with taking everybody else's inventory that we forgot our own inventory. We forget that we've got our own change to be made. We forget that we're ourselves a mess that needs to be cleaned up. Rather than cleaning up everybody else's mess, take your broom and your dustpan to you and make sure you're as accepting of the wide world around you as you can possibly be. And even to those folks that are crazy or creative beyond your scope of reference, learn to appreciate the wide variety around you. Now, from accepting to truthful. The love of God is truthful. The love of God is specific in truth to us. I cannot tell you how many times in my journey of faith, my journey of love with God, and I say here often, the love of God in my life has not been a once-for-all arrival. It's been a constant pilgrimage to learn how deep and wide and significant and high and rooted the love of God is for me. I've had to come to terms with the love of God didn't just happen one day 50 years ago for me, but the love of God is as powerful, profound, and life-changing today as I will allow it to be. But that's where I need the truth of God to my soul, to my mind, to my priorities. One of the most outstanding moments in my life of God speaking truth to me, and I don't use this phrase often, that God spoke to me, because that can get a little heavy-handed. But especially, though, if I say God spoke to me about me, well, now I'm not telling you, hey, God spoke to me, and here's what you better do. No. This truth came at me out of a moment of unexpected lightning strike in my prayer time. Now, and this is what he said to me. I was praying and I had multiple needs in my life. And suddenly, in the middle of all my lists of how I needed this and God do this and God help me there, I heard the voice of God speak and say, Randy, you're cute and I love you. Yeah, that's what I heard. You're cute and I love you, but you're boring me. Oh my goodness, it was such a lightning strike. It was thunderous for me. He was so truthful. God in his love was specifically truthful. And even in the voice of that quote for me is he told me how cute I was. I like that. I'll take that all day long, but then he followed it with, you're cute and I love you, but you're boring me. Now listen, folks, prayer is not about giving God your list, your grocery store list. Prayer is about inner formation. I realized in that moment that when I'm praying about all my birthday wish and my Christmas wish and my grocery list for God, that what God really is after is my inner world to love me down deep inside. And God, if through my carrying on and telling him all that I needed, God in there broke through my little fog and spoke a demand of my heart that said, you're boring me. And I remember then, right then and there, I made a distinct change in my praying. In fact, I had a big thesaurus where I could learn different ways of saying the same thing over and over. And I challenged myself to speak words that were beyond what I was ordinarily saying to God. Now, that's an example. But the example here is the love of God, the character of the love of God is not only accepting, but it is also truthful. The character of the love of God in my life has been committed, completely committed. There's not a high or low in the love of God in my life. And that invites me to be as committed in my love for the wide world around me, to look at the world as it is and to be committed to it as it is, not as I wish it to be committed in my sturdy and steady loving, to be as committed for the world's need as I would be for and want God's commitment to me for my need. To see the world around me hungry for a committed God and a committed love, and for me to be that kind of lover of the wide world around me. I'm a broken record, I know, over the past several weeks, but my wife and I are coming up on our 50th wedding anniversary. We are so humbled and honored that we've reached this point in our relationship. But let me tell you something, oh baby, it has not been easy, especially for Ginger. This has been a committed march to rise and shine above all the darkness, to rise and shine above all the stumblings and the fumblings. We're just as human as anybody out there. I remember hearing a man tell me one time, he was standing in front of his wife and he said to me with a straight face, he said, My wife and I, in our, whatever it was, 45, 50 years of marriage, we've never fought. And she was right behind him, and she didn't know I was looking at her when he said that, but she rolled her eyes and turned around and walked away. I recognized right in that moment that dear woman couldn't get a word in edgewise with this guy. Of course they never had a fight. Of course they never had an argument. She couldn't speak because his voice was dominating the room they were in on most occasions. My point in bringing that up is that Ginger and I have had a long-lasting relationship because we're committed. We're committed to being as honest as we can and as loving in that honesty as we know how to be. And we've just come to a delightful place of appreciating not only our strengths and our best qualities, but to appreciate each other's idiosyncrasies. So when you are committed, you're not just looking for the best at everybody. You're looking for even their idiosyncrasies, even their worst, and to love souls right there. The quality of God's love, the character of God's love is accepting, it's truthful, it's committed, and it is adaptable. Listen to that carefully. It's adaptable. None of our lives are static. None of our lives are always the same all the time. The love of God, I believe, adapts to the conditions that we find ourselves in any given time. There are times when our life in the cycles and the seasons of life, our life is in a struggle. We're in a deep valley. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. Listen to that again, something we all know and we've heard. Through the valley of the shadow of death, God is there. That means God's love is adaptable. It adapts to the circumstance we're in. So learning to love with the character of the love of God is to be an adaptable person, to learn how to adjust even slightly to somebody's need or to adjust to the world you see around you some way, somehow. I don't want to love my wife the same way we loved each other when we first met. It was great. It was adventurous, but it was puppy love. I don't want to live a puppy love. I want to live a full-grown dog love. I want this old dog to learn new tricks and to be with my wife as she is, not as she was or as I wish her to be. That's true of the way we love the world about us. God did not create the world to be static and trapped in one historical moment. God created humanity to be adaptable, to be growing. And in that adaptability that God has given us in our free will, so God's love is adaptable to how we are in this life now. So when I see a world that seems creative beyond my scope of reference, well, that's an invitation to be adaptable to what I'm looking at, to be adventurous in my adaptability, to see people not as I wish them to be, but to see them as they are, and not to make judgments for what I think I'm seeing, because everybody's fighting their own battle. Everybody's fighting their own personal uphill climb. Everybody's struggling against some struggle in life that's much more than I have any idea that it might be going on in them. So to be adaptable in love is to be as loving as God's character for love truly is. And to be adaptable is to be brave. Now, this is the last character of the quality of God's love that I want to share with you, and that is bravery, courageous. To love courageously. That relates to that adaptability. But I want to say this as well, that adaptability is courageous and brave. It learns how to be strong when there's strength needed. And that's what love will do for the wide world around us. Now, you may think I forgot the Lord's Prayer, but I didn't. I moved it. In fact, I didn't warn you earlier. I probably should have. But the Lord's Prayer is so brave. Listen to the words when we say them in a moment. The Lord's Prayer is an invitation to courage, to speak courage to yourself and for yourself as the world around you develops and is what it has become. Now, when I pray the Lord's Prayer, I want you to listen carefully to yourself. If you know the Lord's Prayer, pray it along with me. Pray it with your eyes open. Look up into the heavens. Or in this case, I'm looking up at a studio ceiling. But I'm looking for the courage that would come down from above to fill my heart to be a brave man. To be a brave, you be a brave boy, a brave girl, a brave woman, a brave man. And in your praying the Lord's Prayer, a prayer that has been prayed by millions of people for 2,000 years. Let's be brave with it, shall we? Here we go. Let's pray as Jesus has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I hope you heard your own courage in those words. Courage for daily bread. Courage to forgive. Courage to seek first his kingdom. Courage to be at peace and serenity, which is a final expression of love for the world around you. All right, now let me bring it into the final closure points of what we do here regularly in the No BS Bishop. And one of those activities that I invite you to practice with me is good cleansing breaths. Now, a good cleansing breath is a means by which you draw as much air into your lungs as you can. Now, I'm going to do it with you once, but if you can do this 5 to 10 minutes a day somewhere along the way, you'll slow your racing mind down. You'll potentially lower your blood pressure. You'll get yourself still and seated, or perhaps standing in a beautiful sunbathed moment in your yard or somewhere on along a beach or a shoreline. But to breathe deeply, hold that breath down in your belly, down against your diaphragm. Hold it without raising your shoulders, but just expand your lungs much as you know how, and to be present with a good cleansing and wonderful breath. All right? On the count of three, take the deepest breath you can. One, two, three. Inhale. Now hold it there. Hang on. And exhale. If you can do that 5 to 10 minutes a day, maybe in different moments throughout the day, or especially if you're headed toward an important meeting or a doctor's appointment that you're concerned about, or a get-together with family that makes you nervous or gives you that sense of being stressed, de-stress yourself with good, healthy, cleansing breaths. Now, the second activity, something I'm infamous for, and that is to look people in the eye, give them full attention, attentiveness, and say the three most magical, charmed, and holy words in the human language. Say, I love you. Yes, it's startling. And it's startling because we don't do it often enough. But it's startling because it demands of us some of the character qualities of the love of God we talked about today, to be accepting and truthful, committed, to be assured and brave. Listen, I love you. Simple and potentially life-changing words that you can give somebody in this wild, spinning, crazy world. Let's dare to rise to that, shall we? Say it to your friends, your spouse, your children, find somewhere along the way, even to a stranger, and you'll find it's going to be rattling for you as much as it is for the person receiving it. But that rattle, that startling awake is so much what we need in our world today, isn't it? Our world is in need of lovers who are courageous and accepting and truthful, but lovers who know how to save with deep, authentic truth. I love you. And remember, the biggest mistake we make in life is thinking we've got all the time in the world. Let's be present right now in this moment. Let's be kind. Let's love more. Let's love now. And as Mother Teresa said once, go into the world today and love the people you meet. Let your presence light new light in the hearts of others. And as Bishop Randy Dean likes to say, let's go out there and do something beautiful. Yes, let's hold doors for people. Let's step aside and say, no, after you. Let's put away road rage and let's have road kindness. Let's do something beautiful. Let's fill the world with a million kind moments, recognizing that ugly is getting done to death. Ugly is causing pain. Ugly just attempted an assassination of a presidential candidate. Ugly is arguing and fighting and name-calling and bullying. Ugly has had its day, folks. Let's give beauty its day, and let's fill the world with small, beautiful moments. And like Mother Teresa said, go into the world and love the people you meet. Let your presence light new light in the hearts of others. All right, now, remember, I love you. I know you can't see my eyes, but I'm imagining there are many eyes looking back at your device, your radio, or your dashboard where your speakers are coming from your car. And I want you to know I mean this. I sincerely do. Whoever you are, wherever you've been today, however tough the day has been, hear me say it. I love you. God bless you and happy trails, y'all.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.